Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
Listening to Jonathan Sattel, and today we're going to hear a pre-recorded interview I did just a few days ago with Hugh Nemetz. He's a Messianic Jewish believer who had a very interesting encounter with the Lord, and he's the author of a book called Dead Jew Walking. So stay with me and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Come fellowship with us on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. We're at 1326 North Winton Road in Irondequoit. And while you're at Shema Yisrael, please check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. It's open after services every Saturday around noon, and it's also open on Tuesdays from 1 to 7. And Thursdays from 1 to 6. The Fig Tree Bookstore is a great place to go for CDs, tapes, prayer shawls, music, shofars, books about sharing Messiah, and jewelry. That's the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. And if you're in the Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo area, please visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They're at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. Their services are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. I'm thinking of the holiday of Sukkot, and I'm thinking of the time when Yeshua said, "Whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink from the waters of life." Here's Marty Goetz.
Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. Whoever is hungry, let him come. Whoever is needy, let him come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And take from the waters of life, freely take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of life, freely take from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. Whoever's hungry, let him come. Whoever's needy, let him come. Whoever hears,
let him come.
Whoever wants,
let him come.
Whoever knows, whoever loves,
let him come.
Come take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of
life.
Take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life.
Hello, this is Marty Goetz, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'm so very thankful for my sponsors. Let's hear now from Odell Chiropractic. They will take good care of all of your joints because, after all, don't you want to be well adjusted?
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh, oh, oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
Here's a cute song about Sukkot. This is from Nancy Santiago's album, Enter My Rest.
We will build a little house of palms and wood. We will stand beneath the roof as others stood. We will see the stars as we know others saw them too, when we celebrate the festival of goods. For 40 years our people wandered aimlessly, because they did not follow the Lord blamelessly. Still he gave them food from heaven, water from the rock, and for 40 years beside
a little bit about what Sukkot is. Sukkot is plural for sukkah. It means hut or dwelling. When the Jews left Egypt, they were in a hurry, and they lived in temporary dwellings or booths in the desert. And let's talk about this a little bit. All right, so Sukkot happened after the harvest was completed, before the beginning of the new agricultural year. It includes rest from one's labor and a rejoicing in what God has done providing for his people. Jews are called to remember God's providential care over us after we were redeemed from bondage in Egypt. And we're supposed to remember his provision for the 40 years of wilderness that we wandered. That is why God commanded Israel to observe the festival by leaving our permanent dwellings to live in the more fragile, temporary booths, or Sukkot. God instituted Sukkot as a reminder that dependence upon him was not something that ended when the promised land was reached. So even after a good harvest, we need to remember year after year the temporal nature of this life and the fact that we must ultimately rely on God to provide for us. And so we rejoice over his provision and the abundance of his goodness, and we rest from our labors, and there are sacrifices that were offered to atone for sin. And during the days of the Second Temple, traditions were added to embellish the Feast of Sukkot. The myrtle, willow, and palm branches used for the construction of the booths were bound together to form a lulav, a symbol of thanksgiving and praise to God. And there were some things that the priests did during daily rites during the feast, and they would the priests would turn away from the temple facing west, and then they would announce, "Our fathers, when they were in this place, turned their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. But as for us, our eyes are turned toward the Lord." And oh my gosh, there was so much more that happened, but one thing I want to mention is the water ceremony. It was the third daily ceremony, the rite of the water libation. On the first morning of Sukkot, there was a procession of priests. They went down to the pool of Siloam to bring up to the temple a golden container of water that was supposed to last throughout the 7 days of the feast. There was a big ceremony. They blew the shofar, and they waved their lulavs, and the priest carried the water around the altar, and the priest would pour out the contents of two silver bowls. One held water, the other held wine. On the last day was the great feast, and they called this the great, great celebration, Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hoshiana, which means save now. Oh my goodness. Well, we know that Yeshua said, "If man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him." Oh my, it's a very exciting time. There's a whole lot more I could say. Let's learn a Hebrew word today, mayim. It means water. Here's a song now from Barry and Batya Siegel about water.
Shavim mayim besason, mimane ha-yeshua. Shavim mayim besason, mimane ha-yeshua. Mayim, 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 oh mayim besason. Mayim, 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 oh mayim besason. Hey, 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 hey. Mayim, 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 mayim besason. Mayim, 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 mayim besason. Shavim mayim besason, mimane ha-yeshua. Shavim mayim besason, mimane ha-yeshua. Mayim, 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 oh mayim besason. Mayim, 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 oh mayim besason. Hey, 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 hey. Mayim, 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 mayim besason.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Here's Joshua Aaron with Hoshiana. Save, please.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. salvation, whom shall I be afraid, Lord? Of whom shall I be afraid? Hosanna, 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 we will sing of your salvation. Hosanna, 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 Lord, we cry out for your
Ethel Chadwick, you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an exciting interview with Hugh Nemitz Right now, let's hear about Europa Cafe. Changes in the air. Things are different at Europa Cafe. There is no seating anymore. But instead, come on into the Europa Cafe for baked goods, pastries, delicious goodies to go. The Europa Cafe is open on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays from 10 to 6, and Wednesday, Thursdays, Fridays, 10 to 8, and Sunday, 11 to 4. And of course, the Europa Deli is next door, and they still have wonderful European delicacies, pierogies, and herring, and fish, and cold cuts. So there you have it, folks. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. The phone number there is 385-2040. Europa Cafe for your baked goods to go, and Europa Deli next door. Such a deal. Good.
Chag HaSukkot HaZeh, Zeman Simchateinu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zaman Simchateinu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zaman Simchateinu. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Shehegianu V'kiyamanu V'higianu Lazman hazeh Hallelujah. Sukkot has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sukkot has come. Hallelujah. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zaman Simchatenu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zaman Simchatenu. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu. Hallelujah, Sukkot has come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Sukkot has come. Hallelujah, this is the time of our rejoicing.
Hallelujah, Sukkot has come. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
That was Steve McConnell, and now it's time to hear about a beautiful hair salon. I want you all to go visit Jarday's Hair Salon, okay? People are always telling me that my hair is adorable. Where do you get your hair done? They always ask. I go to Jarday's Hair Salon. It's located at 2433 Lyle Road in Rochester. Their phone number is 585-429-6623. Enjoy a session that's all about you in a relaxing, rejuvenating environment at Jarday's Hair Salon. Their professional staff will always aim to please, and they will ensure that your experience is a memorable event. Be sure to give them a call today. That's Jarday's Hair Salon and Spa, 429-6623. They are your hair color specialists, and they provide facial waxing and men, women's, and children's hair cutting, hair coloring, highlighting, permanence, and nails. Jarday's Hair Salon. You'll be so glad you checked them out. Just a reminder that today's show was pre-recorded. You will not have a chance to win a coupon for bagels today, but please keep listening because I should be back in the studio next week and you'll definitely have a chance to win a coupon.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Israel has found an amazing use for sewage sludge. Now here's an idea that really stinks. What most cities spend a fortune to get rid of, an Israeli company is using to produce electricity. Global Recycling Projects uses solar energy and an innovative process to power electricity-generating turbines. Imagine a smelly but sustainable power source from the people who received God's power to bless the nations. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammai Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammai Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
And now, here's my interview with Hugh Nemitz.
Hugh Nemitz, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very excited. I read your book and I have so many questions. Let's start out by asking you if you grew up in a typical Jewish home.
Well, it depends on your definition of typical. It was basically a secular Reformed Jewish household. I grew up in Miami Beach and we went to shul at the local Reformed temple, Beth Shalom.
Oh, I see. And did you have a strong sense of God in your life at all, or was it more like just a tradition?
God was a nebulous concept to me. I was even at the time of my bar mitzvah, I was an atheist. My father was a Russian Jew who went through pogroms and saw lots of terrible things, and he really didn't believe in God, and I guess that sort of rubbed off on me. So I basically grew up an atheist, even as a Jew.
Wow. Okay, so how did a nice Jewish boy like you find Yeshua as your Messiah?
Well, it's, I'll try to keep the story short, but basically, what happened was I was just trying to find some meaning to life. And I tried all sorts of things. I was married and divorced very young. My oldest daughter is from my first marriage. I was looking for something to fill the hole that I didn't know that only Yeshua could fill. And drugs, alcohol, prom- promiscuity, nothing worked. And I had an ex-girlfriend, basically, that an ex-living girlfriend had become a believer, and she kept sharing. She was relentless, I will say that, and thank God that she was. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I had recently gotten over sexually transmitted hepatitis B. My drug abuse had escalated, and I really thought that I would not be alive to see my 40th birthday. And she had come to, she told me later that she didn't want to come because I had rejected every effort that she made to try to share Yeshua with me. But the Lord, as he would have it, he orchestrated the day, the time, the place. And for the first time in my life, when I was 29 years old, 29 years, 10 months, for the first time, I heard who Yeshua really was and what he came to do.
Oh.
And so I will tell you, Ethel, I was the first time that I ever really heard that he loved me so much that that even when he was on the cross, crucified, that... That I was on his mind, and that concept, it's that a God that I didn't even recognize as being existent could love me so much that he did that for me so that I could have eternal life, just wrecked me.
Oh my. Do you remember looking at a new covenant for the first time?
Yeah, it was that day. It was April 21st, 1987, and although I had always rejected the Bible as just a myth and a fairy tale and a bunch of stories that was for old and new, she brought me my first real Brit Hadashah that day, a New Testament, and that evening I read the Gospel of John in its entirety after praying for wisdom that God would open my eyes so that I would be able to understand and see and actually comprehend what I was reading. And when I opened I just cracked it. I didn't know my way around the Bible. I'd never had one in my hands before. And Old and New Testament, this is what I mean. It's the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah together. It was an NIV Bible, and I opened it, and it landed on Yochanan, it landed on John, chapter 1, verse 1, and I started to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God from the beginning. And it was like there was like some special effects from a movie. There was a spiritual light streaming out of the Bible that almost blew me out of my chair.
Oh my. Wow. Interesting that you said that you had previously thought it was just a myth and a bunch of stories, because I'm afraid so many of our Jewish brothers and sisters have that exact same feeling about the scriptures.
Absolutely, and the way that I grew up in a Reform synagogue, my experience was that it wasn't about the power of God or the presence of God, it was about the triumph of the human spirit. And it was all about what we could do, positive motivation, positive thoughts, principles like perseverance, which are good, but nothing to do with God, really.
Amazing. And so you found out that Yeshua was the Messiah, and did you share that with any of your Jewish family?
I did. In fact, it was the day after. I want to tell you, though, that I was instantly delivered from all these things that I had chased. When I woke up April 22nd, 1987, as the day wore on, I found out I didn't light a cigarette that day. I had no desire to light a cigarette. I had no desire to... We went clubbing with at least four or five nights a week, my buddies and I. And constantly different girls in my life and all of this, and that ended. I found out as the day wore on that I was delivered from all of these things. overnight, and I didn't even know what deliverance was. I didn't recognize it really, that what that entailed, but I was totally caught and cleaned, if you will, and it was not my doing. So I started sharing Yeshua with everybody. Really, it was like, this is the greatest thing ever, so I have to tell people. And I was sad to see that many of my Jewish friends, most of whom were secular, a couple conservative at best, that they actually were disgusted by me, that they treated me like I was a traitor, and that I had a college friend of mine actually tell me that she was done. She didn't want to hear from me ever again. So that was a bit sad.
Oh my. Well, how did your Jewish family and friends, your relatives in particular, how did they feel about it? I mean, surely they saw changes in you.
Well, yeah, and they were, my father particularly was very happy with the positive changes that he had seen, because I looked at the time that I became a believer, I looked like Billy Idol, and had this bleach blonde mullet, and sometimes there were colors in my hair, and just wild looking sort of fellow, and my father didn't approve of any of that. But I asked my father one day, I said, who do you think Yeshua is? Who do you think Jesus is? And my mother was telling me, don't say anything to your father. Don't say a word. And he said to me, which is a funny thing, it's I hope nobody's offended, but my father said, he's the only Jew that ever made good. That's my father's sense of humor. I said, no, Dad, who do you really think he is? He said, well, he was the first Catholic.
Oh, no.
Like, wow. It's like, so that conversation didn't get very far. I told him that I was a believer, and he was just like shrugged his shoulders and said, well, it's if it's doing something good for you, whatever. It's like, I don't care. It's like, he said, whatever floats your boat, you know? It's
Oh, my goodness. Well, you wrote a book called Dead Jew Walking. Tell me about that. Yeah. What was your inspiration to write that book?
Well, it was never, I tell folks that it was not my idea. I never considered myself an author. Before 2010, when I first started blogging, but I went through a life-threatening illness, and during my recovery, 6 months of convalescence, the Lord started speaking to me, and he said, I want you to write a book. And now this is, and for the second time, I said, I'm not a writer. I'm not an author. I'm not a writer. And he said to me very clearly, I didn't ask you if you were a writer or an author. I just asked for your obedience. I asked you to write the book, and I will give you the content. And so over the next 2.5 years, dealing with a lot of discouragement and spiritual just issues, like trying to dynamics were at work to try to keep me from writing the book. That's the best way I can put it. But it deals with everything. It's like the Lord really spoke to me. It's like your story, the things that you have been through, some that you've walked through and some that you stumbled through, are not for you to bury in your backyard. These are things, whether it's your unbelief, my unbelief, or my nearly committing suicide, or dealing with abortion, or a dysfunctional family, or all of these things, Israel, pornography. I very openly shared a pornography addiction that almost wrecked my marriage. And these are things that a lot of people are ashamed of, and they don't want to share, but they're all part of my story, and as a happy ending, God has taken me from on this journey from death to life, and walked with me the whole time.
Wow, a true story of deliverance. Now, you've had a couple of encounters that most people only dream of. Do you want to share any of those experiences where you saw an angel or the Lord face to face or near-death experience?
Sure. It's when I was first diagnosed, actually I hadn't been diagnosed yet, but I was deathly ill. I'd been in one emergency room. This was on July 29th, 2012. My wife had taken me to an emergency room, and they were unable to really diagnose anything more than the flu, and they gave me a shot of morphine. You don't really give people morphine for the flu. But I was in so much pain. They did give me morphine. I came home. Morphine doesn't last very long. It has a very short half-life. So I came home. And for the next 30 hours, I was laying on my bed. And during that 30 hours, not the entire 30 hours, but while I was laying there, and my wife Lisa and my youngest daughter Ellie were sitting there on the bed with me. It was pouring rain outside. And I asked my wife to put on one of my favorite worship leaders. Is a fellow by the name of John Thurlow, who's from IHOP, International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and it's called Storm All Around You. And while this song is playing, it's so powerful, it's hard for me to even get it out without weeping, but I get basically transported into heaven. My body is still there. I'm narrating my experience to my wife and daughter. And I'm in the throne room of God, and I'm surrounded with these living colors. I understood at that time that what I believe Moses actually saw when he was standing in front, in the presence of God at the burning bush, it was the only way they could describe it, but it was actually a piece of, it was like the piece of the throne room, like a mobile tabernacle, if you will, that Moses was in front of, and the colors were actually indescribable, but they were alive, these reds, blues, whites. I looked in the direction of, I could not actually see the face of the Lord because it was so so bright. And I heard the sound of the wings of the seraphim, these beings with these gigantic wings that, I can still hear the sound of their wings, the swoosh, swoosh, very slow, powerful, gigantic. And one of them actually came up to me and was looking like so close to me, panim al panim, face to face, that looking into my eyes, Yeshua said that the eyes are the windows to your soul. And I understood that this creature was reading my mail, if you will, that he knew everything about me. And then he takes a burning coal in tongs, in a pair of tongs, just like happened to Isaiah in chapter 6, his experience, and touching my lips and saying to me that my sins were atoned for.
Oh, wow.
And at that moment, you know, Rav Shaul, Paul said that we only know in part. We see through a mirror dimly now, but when we're in the presence of God, then we'll know everything. The questions that we have won't need to be asked because we'll know the answers. And at that moment, I knew that this creature was the same creature that Isaiah had encountered. And I knew that this was his job description, if you will. This is what he did. And I heard in my spirit, and you and Isaiah were not the only ones that this has happened to. This is what he does.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Hugh, if somebody wanted to get a copy of your book, Dead Jew Walking, what is the best way? And I highly recommend it, by the way, for the listeners. It is just riveting. I could hardly put it down.
It's available on Amazon, either in Kindle or softback. Or they can also just go to my website, which is www.deadjewwalking.com. And using PayPal, they could just order a copy, and it will be sent to them within a few days from the U.S.
Just an amazing book. Now, you're living in Israel at the moment. What is life like there? Do you feel safe?
We feel very safe. Actually, considerably safer than living in the United States. I can say to anyone who lives in places like L.A. or New York, or our oldest daughter lives in New York in Westchester County. I would say that Miami, Florida, take your pick, Chicago, much safer. The streets are filled with people late at night everywhere. Israelis are very helpful to each other. They're very, if you've never been, I would tell you to come, because the sense of safety and the sense of to be in God's, the place that God chose as his dwelling place is beyond description. And we really feel at home here. Would also encourage all of our American and all of the Jews across the earth that it's time to come home. It's time to come home.
Wow. I'm just so blessed to have gotten to know you through Facebook and to have read your book, and your life has completely changed. You are not the man that you used to be. And what do you see for your future? What do you think God is calling you to do?
Well, I really feel that one of the things that I was doing in when we lived in the Middle Tennessee area was one-on-one relationships with other men. Really, a lot of guys know people, but women are much more communicative, I would say, and have more relationships or more relationship-oriented as a gender. Men, not so much. They know people, but if you ask a lot of men how many really close friends they have, for most of them, it's very thin. It's very few. So I really feel called to, God is moving me towards a place to establish these sort of relationships. And we pray for divine appointments in this area. My wife and I are raising our youngest 12-year-old daughter here. And I'm hoping that there are more books. I'm waiting for the Lord to give me the next book as a follow-up. And I also do some blogging, devotional blogs, and see what happens. We're open to him.
And how would you like us to be praying for you and your family?
For safety, for us to be able to continue to hear God's voice, for those divine appointments, for health, really, and for provision, continued provision. I am technically disabled and deal with some, although I am in good shape, relatively good, I do have some issues. So health is a big part of that. And just pray for the nation of Israel and our place in this society, that it's our desire really to be part of the fabric of Israel and not on the fringes, but really to be part of the fabric and to establish ourselves here with God's help.
Amen. Well, may God bless your family. May he give you provision and health and keep you under the shadow of his wings. In the name of Yeshua.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Bless. I want to thank you for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings. I'm very excited to meet a new friend way on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's an Olam Katan. It's a small world. And so glad to know you.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk again soon. And you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And keep in touch.
Yes, be blessed. Chatima tova ve'leshana tova.
Leshana tova to you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was my interview with Hugh Nemitz, and we do have time for one more song. Here's Marty Goetz, and this is called The Spirit of the Lord.
Spirit of the Lord. He's a anointed me with the Spirit of the Lord.
This is Marty Goetz, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'm really glad that you have been listening to the program today, and I encourage you to go to Amazon and look up the book, Dead Jew Walking by Hugh Nemitz, and I just encourage you to draw closer to the Lord, and may He fill you with His peace and His joy. And now it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yismorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. We assemble Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.
Blessings is a ministry of Shammah Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammah Yisrael. That's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammah Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.